the music that introduced Bob Schieffer as the anchor of Face the Nation on CBS TV for 24 years. Since he retired from that job in 2015, he has continued as a contributor to CBS News and has also authored a new book called Overload, Finding the Truth in Today's Deluge of News. Here is a man who the Library of Congress once named a living legend, Bob Schieffer. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. You know, us living legends, we like the title, living.
You are.
They don't give it posthumously, so.
So it's the legend part, not so much. It's the living part that's important.
That's the part I like.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show. It's always a pleasure
Thank
to
you.
Talk to you.
Great to be with you guys.
Is our current situation proof that more information does not equal better information?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, we have access to more information than any people who've ever lived on Earth. But you have to ask the question, are we wiser or are we just overwhelmed with so much information we can't process it? And I'm afraid the answer right now is we're simply overwhelmed. No human could absorb all the information that's pouring in from all sides now, and let alone make any sense of it. This technological revolution that we're going through in communications now is having, I think, as profound an effect on the people of our time as the invention of the printing press did on the people of that day. And, you know, we look back on the printing press, what a wonderful thing, literacy improved, you had the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation, but we also had 30 years of religious war before Europe kind of settled into some sort of equilibrium. And I think that's kind of what we're going through here right now, and we're not anywhere close to the end of it. I think we're kind of probably in the first trimester.
I'm glad you didn't use in the title of your book the phrase fake news. Because, and here's why. I think fake news can be really good. For instance, anybody who reads The Onion, that's all fake news, and it's funny. What Stephen Colbert used to do on The Colbert Report, or Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, and I guess Trevor Noah did and still does, and what others do in that realm, that could be fake news, but it's there to entertain. It's when we have bogus news stories coming out, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Stephen Colbert would agree with you completely on that. He said, yeah, we used to do fake news, but we knew it was a joke. And the people that we were delivering it to knew it was a joke. Now you have this stuff that's popping up that it just comes out of nowhere almost, especially on social media, where people are making things up out of whole cloth for propaganda reasons, for national security reasons, just to make mischief, all of these various things. And this is what's really dangerous in making it so hard to separate what's true from what is not true. And it's the old, if you're a news consumer, you better put up that sign, buyer beware, and live by it, because just because it appears on the internet, it doesn't mean it's true.
In all your years in network television, and before that, decades ago at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, do you know any reporter who blatantly made up a story and kept their job?
No. Absolutely not. But, you know, in my day and in the legacy news media today, the mainstream media, as people call it, we still go to a certain amount of trouble to check out stories and make sure we think that at least that they're true before we publish them. But, you know, different people have different standards. The guy in his mama's basement who, you know, gets suddenly discovers the meaning of life at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's not using the same standards that those of us in the mainstream media are using. And now we're finding out these propaganda outlets that are putting out this news, sometimes for national security reasons. For example, the Russian government, we know that they're meddling. Facebook has now admitted that they bought $100,000 worth of ads on Facebook, and some of these were disguised as domestic news sources. They absolutely weren't. Nothing new here. This is what the Russians are doing all across Europe now. They don't drive their tanks across the borders anymore. They found it's cheaper to use cyber warfare, bribe the local officials, put out false stories to undermine the credibility of the press. this is what is happening. And, you know, you can't knock down every single lie. They're just coming too fast. So one of the reasons I wrote this book was to to sort of inoculate people, help them understand, look, this stuff is out there. These people are doing this. They're not doing it for good reasons. You have to be aware, and you have to be certain of the sources you go to for news, because if you go to some of these sources, you're going to get stuff that's just flat wrong.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about the guy in his underwear in his mom's basement sitting in front of his MacBook Pro putting these things up, although he can create some problems as well, as I am with a cabal of people in a Moscow apartment who are pushing this stuff out with the express intent of creating havoc.
And there is no question this is happening. All of our intelligence agencies agree on that. There's a scholar here in Washington named at CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies. Heather Conley is her name. She has written this book called The Kremlin Playbook, and she's gone back and studied five different countries across Europe and how the Russians have used these techniques. And every one of them you read, you say, well, that's exactly what they're trying to do here. They've been doing this for a while, and they've been very successful at it, and we have to be aware that it's happening, and that's the first way to neutralize it.
Sounds like you consider this a national security issue.
I do, and that's the reason John Hamry, who's the head of CSIS, I was doing these podcasts over there about the news, and you know, we were interviewing reporters, and he said, I think this has reached the point that this is a national security issue, and that's when we decided to write this book. This is dangerous. It poses a threat, and we have to be willing to confront it.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with Bob Schieffer about his new book called Overload. I mentioned at the intro that you did Face the Nation for 24 years.
Yep.
On that show, when you're sitting behind that desk and you're looking across that countertop at some politician from either party, from any branch of government, there were times when you had to know, you're lying to me. You're lying straight to my face.
Yeah.
Could you call them out on it?
I would try to. But let me tell you now, that is more prevalent. It's almost the first time around now. People just sometimes seem to just lie. You know, we've always had people that, you know, tried to package the news in their favor and all that, but we're finding more and more that people just flat out lie the first time around and keep doing so until you have the evidence to correct them. And that's a little bit different than what we've seen in Washington before. But when you're doing a show like Face the Nation, what I always trying to remember was that sometimes a non-answer is an answer. I remember I did a during the campaign when Governor Romney was running, and I happen to like Governor Romney. I think he's a person of real character. But I asked him four times in that interview about his position on immigration, and four times he avoided me, and I came away from it thinking, you know, I probably we didn't get anything out of him. Well, the story was that he didn't answer the question, and that was the lead in the New York Times story of that interview the next day.
Mm-hmm.
People know when you're evading a question. I used to tell press secretaries on Capitol Hill, if your boss doesn't have something to say, we're not interested in talking to him. And my favorite guest all through the years was Sam Nunn, who was the chairman of the House Senate Armed Services Committee, and I'd call him up and I'd say, Senator, you want to be on Face the Nation? And he'd say, you know, I really don't have anything to say this week. And I'd say, thank you, sir. And I thought that was great. He wasn't wasting my time. He wasn't going to waste our viewers' time. And we also knew when he came on Face the Nation, he was going to move the story forward. He had something of significance to tell us about, and he didn't come to see us unless he did. A politician really hurts himself when he goes on television and avoids questions because everybody knows it, and they do not come off well.
I have to ask you about President Trump, who has been relentless with his attacks on the press, even going back to his campaign, and that hasn't slowed down since he moved into the White House. Last week, he explicitly threatened the press by saying on Twitter, quote, "Network news has become so partisan, distorted, and fake that licenses must be challenged and, if appropriate, revoked."
Well, in the first place, the networks don't have licenses. The local stations, and they own some of the local stations, do have licenses, but the networks themselves do not have licenses. He went on to say it is disgusting to see the press think they can talk about anything they want to talk about, and people should look into it. Well, my friend Jake Tapper over at CNN looked into it, and he held up a copy of the U.S. Constitution. So I've looked into it and checked it out, and we have a right to do that. And you know, obviously, if you don't tell the truth, you can be held accountable for that. You can be sued for libel and all of that. But, you know, what we do, the politicians deliver a message, and that's what they're supposed to do, because they're trying to persuade people to do something that they think is for the good of the country. We don't we're not the opposition party. We're not there to argue with them about that. They deliver the message. Our role is simply to check it out and see if it's true or false and report on what its impact will be on the governed. And if we do that right, we're fulfilling a crucial part of the democratic process. I do not believe you can have democracy like we have unless citizens have an opportunity to see independently gathered information that they can compare to the government's version of events. So that's sort of the assignment that the founders gave us. I mean, we won't always be the most popular person in the room, but that is the responsibility that the First Amendment puts on us, and we have to just keep doing it.
But that's a little bit difficult when you have a president who has his own pipeline through the only media outlet he does interviews with is Fox News. He, of course, tweets. He holds his own rallies, says whatever he wants. The networks cover that. But he doesn't sit down with a Bob Schieffer or a John Dickerson or a Lester Holt or anybody from any of the other mainstream news outlets. What do you do in that circumstance?
We just keep doing our job, and that is to keep asking questions. And if he won't come and talk to us, then we interview other people, and we ask them questions. The press has one weapon, and that is to ask questions and to keep asking questions until we get an answer. And eventually, people will come to understand that.
But here's the problem.
You know, let's face it, sometimes presidents are right. Sometimes presidents come up with good plans and good decisions. But in the end, the people will decide whether they're doing what they ought to be doing or not. And we just have to make sure people understand we're not trying to run the government. We're trying to ask the people in the government about what they're doing and what they're saying, and are they producing what they have promised to produce? That's what we do.
But in that regard, why can't the media ignore ridiculous tweets from the president, you know, reporting on them and then arguing about them? You know, in many cases, I just wish we would go, okay, that's the drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. We're going to ignore him and have the meal. They can't do that, can they?
I hear you. I know where you're coming from on that, but I think that the tweets are the new electronic press release, and maybe we don't like them. I think in many cases the president hurts himself when he does these things. I don't think he helps himself when he undercuts his own Secretary of State by putting out a tweet. But you know, he's the president. He has the right to, the First Amendment gives him the right to speak out too.
Yep.
And so we have to do that. And I mean, it scares me to death sometimes when he comes out with some of these things, like you know, talking about that nutcake in North Korea. We don't know, you know, really whether he's of sound mind or not, and what might set him off. So I kind of wish he wouldn't do that. But having said that, I think we have a responsibility to report it in the same way. You report it if it's of news value. In the same way, you know, the White House puts out a written press release. Well, we don't fool with it if it's nothing of interest. But if it is of interest, if it is newsworthy, then we report it. And I just think we have to put the tweets in that category.
All right. Now, here's something that is another pet peeve of mine, and I bet it is of yours as well, because you keep talking about reporting. You are at heart a reporter. You've been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
You turn on any of the big cable news networks all day long. Instead of reporting, they give us panels of pundits arguing about stories. And very rarely do we actually see reporters on the air reporting a story. Does that drive you crazy?
Well, I think some of them are doing a good job. I mean, I think CNN, I mean, I don't agree with 100% of the things that they do and broadcast, but they have done some very solid reporting, and I think every news organization builds its reputation on its reporting. Now, the one great exception to that is Fox, which, you know, their primetime schedule is pretty much the editorial page for them, but they report it pretty straight during the day, most of the day. I think people turn on the news to find out what the news is. I still think that. That's what I think it was when I came into this business. If you have information that people need to know, then they're going to listen and they're going to watch and they're going to read your publication or your broadcasting outlet. Mm-hmm. And I still think that's the heart of it. I think a lot of times the cables, they have so much time to fill that they, you know, they don't have that much news, and so they go into the punditry and the analysis. And sometimes I think they have to be very careful not to blend opinion with facts. You know, I did a commentary every Sunday on Face the Nation at the end of the broadcast, but yep. We put a little sign up on the bottom half of the screen that said commentary,
right.
And I still think that's a good thing. I mean, we started doing that because I thought we should do it, and some of the people at CBS, well, they said they know they know that's a commentary, and I said, well, maybe they do and maybe they don't, but just I think the safe thing is for us to label this commentary, and I still think that's a good rule.
Yeah. You'd have to put it on all day, every day on the cable news outlets. But here's the last thing I want to ask you, Bob. Do you think it's the responsibility of Facebook and Twitter to reduce the distribution of bogus news stories?
I absolutely think they have to take some responsibility for the content on their broadcast. You know, they began by saying, look, we're a technology company that's allowing people to talk to each other, and that's a good thing. It is a good thing. But we now have, I think when I started writing this book, 62% of us were getting some of our news from Facebook. And now, and I think that may be up to as much as 67%.
Wow.
When you're informing that many people, you have to take some responsibility for the content that you're providing for them. Now they're beginning to come around to say, well, yes, we do have responsibility. It's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, and I give them that. But I think they're going to have to do more to try to knock down this fake stuff. Because when this stuff gets out, it's almost impossible to take it down. I mean, we still have people who believe that Barack Obama is not a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much fact-checking do you have to do to finally get that off the screen? And that's the thing. I mean, this stuff, it's dangerous to get this some of this stuff out there and not label it immediately as false. So I'm very glad to see that Facebook is now saying, you know, we're going to try to do something about this. But they're a long way from getting it done at this point.
Yes, they are. And I agree with you that it's dangerous, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it. And I'm glad you wrote the book. It's called Overload, Finding the Truth in Today's Deluge of News by living legend, still living, Bob Schieffer. Thanks so much, Bob. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, buddy. It's always fun to be with you guys.
Thank you. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.